Anybody around North Texas knows the name Juliet Fowler. They've been around forever. Juliet Fowler Home, now Juliet Fowler Communities, have been around since 1892. But what you may not know is the interesting combination of service. It's not just an old folks' home, you know, for the aged, but it also deals with small children, younger children, the youth. This is an interesting combination. Nicole Gann is the president and CEO of Juliet Fowler Communities. Good to have you with us.
Thank you, David. Good to be here.
So tell me about this combination. How do you end up cradle to grave, you know, all spectrums of mankind?
Of care. Well, it was our founder's dream, and she always believed that people thrived in community. And community to her always was a reflection of young and old. And through her insurmountable grief, she really decided she was going to serve her community when she lost her husband and her two children. And that became her lifelong work. And she knew that without her community, she wouldn't have survived that tragedy. And she saw so many people displaced that she knew it was important to create a safe haven where they could come together and they could flourish with each other, because young people flourish when they have healthy adult relationships around them, and older adults find purpose when they can still influence and mentor children. And really, that's been a part of us for the past 134
but
years.
But Nicole, that is a community. I mean, that is by definition a community. A community is not just one demographic, is it?
Exactly. That's the thing I think I love about Fowler the most, is we've always embraced a representation of true community, because you bring up the young and the old, but we also have the haves and the have-nots. We have a very diverse community of people with different needs, and they all flourish together on one campus.
So we talked about Juliet Fowler being around since 1892. How do you know, you've got to make it relevant, and you've got to keep up. And how do you avoid being trapped by, you know, 134 years worth of tradition? And I know you've talked about not allowing legacy to become some sort of a cage.
Exactly. I think it's such a good analogy, because we all know what happens in cages. We cannot thrive in cages. But I think this is the challenge of an organization such as ours. You want to continue to do good and sustain the community, but you have to meet the community where they are. And in a 134-year history, that's changed many times, whether it's regulatory agencies, whether it's the needs and the services and how you deliver them. But for us, what we always do is we look for that kernel of connection that is about that service to the core of our mission, which is young and old. And then we evolve our programs to meet those needs. And we also have had to recognize that we cannot meet every need. So you have to be selective. It's an editing process, if you will, so that you sustain for the long term.
But this really goes back to your background. You were a CFO before you were a CEO. And and I look at, you know, senior living in particular, the economics are just so tough. I mean, the healthcare costs, you know, going through the moon, and labor and food and insurance and construction, because you always have to do something new. Where's the greatest pressure for you, for Fowler now?
You know, you bring up a good point. I mean, it's not for the faint of heart. It does require creative thinking, and it also requires you seeking out really meaningful partnerships. And we survive because of key partnerships that we have with corporations and volunteerism. And a large part goes out to our philanthropic community, who support us through planned giving and through annual giving. Because without that, I think our proposition on how we deliver services and our very survival would be in jeopardy. But we've been able to foster a meaningful community outside of our gates that want to walk alongside our mission with us.
Yeah, so incorporating volunteerism, I mean, that's a good answer. So we've got a lot of CEO spotlight. We've got a lot of CEOs listening right now. If I want my company to be involved in the community, what's the wrong way to choose a nonprofit? How do you do that?
A wrong way to choose a nonprofit? Well, I think if you're just choosing something to be a soundbite or to represent an image, that might be the wrong way. I think it's key that you choose a nonprofit that can be aligned somewhat with your mission and your goals, and that it can be a purpose of service and engagement. I'll give you four examples. We're in our 26th year with Deloitte. They have had a day of service on this campus for 26 years, and they bring anywhere between 80 and 100 associates that descend on our campus. It's months of planning. They make a substantial donation in supplies or materials related to whatever our initiatives are, and then they bring the workforce to come and materialize that and make that come to life, whether that is gardening or planting, or whether it's maybe having, for example, we had professional ballroom dancers here that did our end of the party, and everyone got to participate in that. It could be painting, it could be, you know, flower arranging, it could be dementia programming, it could be just sitting down and talking with an elder. Whatever it is, they show up, and for that whole day, they are here. And I'll tell you, it works both ways for it. Obviously, you know what it does for our organization. It brings us funds, and it brings us workforce, and it brings us connection, which is key and important to us. But for them, it's bringing connection as well. Many of these associates, they don't work together in traditional offices anymore. So they come together in this environment, and they're seeing each other often for the first time. So it's building community and connection for the Deloitte team in a way that they are fulfilling Deloitte's mission of giving back to the community. And I think that's the best partnership, when there's alignment.
You mentioned dementia care, and that's so critical. And it's becoming so much more necessary. People are living longer. Longer mm-hmm. than ever before. And of course, that's when, you know, dementia starts showing up. But again, mm-hmm. it's very expensive. It's very difficult. How do you walk that fine line?
I think our purpose is always going to be to walk alongside with people who are living with dementia. And you think about this, not only are we living longer, but dementia is a diagnosis or disease that you can live with for 25 or 30 mm-hmm. years. And it has many different stages, and all those stages require different care. For us, we look for ways to support people in the community that are taking care of a loved one or living with dementia themselves. And we look for ways for them to engage maybe in a support group or maybe in activities where they feel more comfortable engaging. As it relates to our cost model, when you have to come into a residential environment, again, we really try to manage the cost as effectively as possible. I think we're very economical costs when you look across the city. And we've been able to do that because we don't have debt on our building, or because we had planned giving that allowed us to subsidize our programming and therefore our care. But it's all those components working together, David, that really help us manage that cost. Because at any time, if you can't cover your cost in any business, yeah. you ask yourself, why are you in business, right? And that's not any different for a not-for-profit. It's just we've got this unknown, which is philanthropy, that's coming to us in addition to our room and board. And we hopefully we create that combination that we cover our cost and we provide a superior level of support and care.
And talk about the scope a little bit. As far as I know, you've always been there in East Dallas. I've always known it, you know, right there in East Dallas. But meanwhile, I don't know if you noticed, the world has grown up around you, and this community has grown and grown and grown and gone to the north. Have you thought about relocating or additional campuses, or have you got enough to say grace over right now?
Well, we are in the last stages of our campus development that we've been in for about 5 years. And so I would say we've got enough to say grace for right now and at least the next couple of years. But it is part of our strategy to always be outward looking to say, are there other places in the Metroplex that we can go to, other places in community, whether someone comes to us with a donation of land, we explore those opportunities and we ask ourselves, could we provide something there? I think we've also, to your point, we've been here a long time. I always joke with the neighbors when we were complaining about traffic, and it's like, well, we were here first. Everything got here after us. But we have to revitalize our campus too. Part of this campus development, we were taking down structures that went back to the 1950s that weren't efficient to maintain anymore, and repurposing them now and building new buildings that'll serve the mission for decades to come. So I think it's a both and story. I think you're always looking to say, can we have healthy growth and meaningful growth, not just growth for the sake of growth? And can we take care of the resources that we have here? I don't imagine we'll ever leave East Dallas. It's our original 15 acres from Juliet's will, and we've added, you know, 5, 6, 7 acres on to that. And I think we'll always be here. It's just core to who we are.
That's fascinating. I mean, you are tearing down your own buildings to build new ones rather than sort of gentrifying the area. Are you landlocked, though? Have you still got land?
We don't really have any more vacant land. I built the last 144 units of low-income housing tax credit on the last 4.5 acres of vacant land we have. So that's how we got into deciding what our buildings needed to come down to be rebuilt. We probably have maybe 2-3 acres of buildings that are aging that we'll be examining in the future for that same kind of process, just repurposing it.
It's a fascinating organization, especially with the reach and longevity. Juliet Fowler Communities has been around for 134 years. Nicole Gann is the president and CEO and our guest today. It's good to have you with us. Thank you very much for the time.
Well, thank you. It's been a joy to be here.
Thanks. For more of our conversation, go to krld.com/CEO. I'm David Johnson, News Radio 1080 KRLD.